What's up, y'all?
Welcome back to Ship Across the Border. My name is Max. I'm here with Chris. And today we have on senior, the last senior, I think, in the senior. We kind of went off track of the lineage.
You were supposed to do all seniors first.
We kind of got off track of that. Also, Pat's been hard to get on the show, but we got Patrick Nguyen.
We asked him before?
Soup.
Don't turn down any opportunity, whether it's a camp, a clinic, because you never know literally who's watching.
Make your own decision and stick with them and know they're the right decisions, right? And even if they aren't right, don't regret them.
He didn't know creatine existed.
So he got him some creatine, he's like, oh, yeah, lift heavy weight.
Ship across the border.
I ship across the border.
Ship across the border, man.
Welcome back to Ship Across the Border.
No. 100% I've asked you before.
Cat.
100% I've asked you before. This guy's a busy man. This guy's got shit to do. This guy lives by himself and stuff.
Last year we had a teammate who...
Nah, never. No, yo, yeah, cut that.
Anyway. Last year we had a teammate who we asked probably, 10 times to come on the podcast. And Demo. And then he finally came on. He got on. He was like, you guys never asked me. Like, what the fuck? And
dude,
then,
I definitely asked you before. 100%.
No.
100%.
The only person that talked to me about it was RJ. He was like, oh, you got to go on the podcast.
Shout out RJ.
Shout out RJ.
Fucking right. So we were just talking about how you didn't play basketball until your junior year in high school.
Yeah.
Why did you start playing basketball in your junior year of high school?
I'm not going to lie. So before junior year of high school, I was, playing, at the park, not every day, but maybe, a couple times a month. And when your boys hit you up, oh, we need one more. Yeah. I was more into football. Even though I didn't play football, I was, watching football. And then it's just, I feel like as – this might sound mad stereotypical, but as an Asian kid, your parents always want you to go to school. They don't really care about sports. They want you to get the 4.0s and all that. So when I was growing up, it was always about school, doing extracurriculars, band. I was in chorus. I was one of those. Ooh, yeah, nah, chill. Nah.
This guy Pat's studious ass boy.
Yeah, nah, I was one of those nerds. Nerds.
Did you grow up your whole life in Mass or Connecticut?
Yeah, nah, I grew up in Connecticut my whole life. Okay. So, yeah, nah, that demographic, I grew up in, I was one of the few Asian kids and... Yeah, nah, you don't see a lot of Asian hoopers, to be honest. Where I'm from, you don't see no one Asian hooping, none of that.
So, were you in basketball as, a little kid? Your parents put you in basketball, or you should have hooped by yourself?
They didn't put me in no sports as a little kid, nothing. My dad actually made me do karate for 6 years of my life, but...
Talking about stereotypical.
Talking about stereotypical, yeah, I did karate for 6 years of my life. I hated that so much.
Is that a little crooked, or it looks straight?
I think we have to cut that. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Why do you have to cut that?
Why?
Keep, leave it in, bro. Leave it in. We're keeping this raw.
We've left in way worse than that.
Okay, we're keeping this real life.
So, at what point, why hooping? Why did you, why?
I don't know.
Or
I
how? Did,
how, I guess.
So I started playing more pickup, and I started to like it, and I was a little bit taller for my age, so I was like, yo, I might be a little bit better at, have, a higher chance of, doing this, and, it's kind of fun to me. Mm-hmm. And so... There was this LA Fitness in my town I used to go to all the time. And I was just getting killed by these grown-ass dudes, bro. It was kill me. And they would talk that shit. And I would come home every day, sad. Damn, I hate basketball. I was like, I might as well just, listen to my parents and, just get that, go to school, graduate, go to, Harvard or something, become a doctor. I don't know.
Imagine that being your backup plan.
And so, yeah, and then I just remember one day, this dude named Jesse, shout out Jesse. He was like, yo, do you want to train? Do you want to get better at ball? And I was like, nah, not really. I thought he was about to charge me, be one of those scammers, be like, oh, you're trying to train and pay me.
Make you jump through hoops and shit, hurdles, dribble with
a tire.
Yeah.
But one time I had a trainer make me do ball handling stuff with a 10-pound medicine ball.
Really?
It was whack.
How'd it go?
Do you have handle now?
Do I have handle?
How do you think it went?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you think it went? But I'll be trying to get a handle, though. I'll be in the gym before practice would be doing boxing.
Okay, so you start your junior year. You come in and you had to try out, obviously, for the high school team.
Yeah, I got cut junior year. I was terrible. I couldn't even shoot free throws. Like, my free throws didn't even hit the rim. Like, it was that bad. Damn. Like, I'm telling you, it was that bad. I was like, yeah, nah, this ain't for me.
So you tried out junior year, got cut.
Uh-huh. Tried senior year. Came back. I worked out with my boy Jesse. He got me right. He got me with the fundamentals. Like, I literally had no fundamentals. I couldn't drill with my left hand. Couldn't even shoot layups. Only if I was wide open. Like, I was that bad, bro. Like, I was so bad. Like, okay. Yeah, I was so bad, bro. But then we started working. I got a little bit better. I liked it. I thought I had a little bit of a chance, but not really. I wasn't really that confident in myself. That's another thing. Like, confidence, like, I had no confidence. And that's what I had to learn throughout the years and stuff. I feel like I still have a little problem with that, but every year I try to get more confident. And then senior year comes, I'm like, dang, I have somewhat of a chance to get, you know, maybe the last jersey, maybe. Got cut, and I was like, dang.
Your senior year, too?
Yeah, senior year.
So you've never played any high school
basketball? How the fuck are you here, bro?
Bro, nah.
I thought when you were saying that before the podcast, because we had a conversation that led right, segued right into this, mm-hmm. and then right as I heard that, like, that he didn't play high school basketball, I'm like, save this for the podcast.
Uh-huh.
But, so this one, I thought you, I was under the impression that you didn't play until your junior year.
Nah,
so
bro.
How the hell, so how do you go to, because you went to JUCO before this,
yeah.
How do you become a college basketball player after not playing a single year of
bro, so, high school basketball? So I was like, my last chance has to be AAU. Mm-hmm. And so there was this local AAU program called the Connecticut North Stars, and it's based out of Hartford.
That sounds elite.
Nah, I mean...
Connecticut North Stars?
I mean, it's like a local program, so we play in, like, the basketballs, like, stuff like that, those little, like, those companies that run those tournaments and stuff.
Okay.
And so I tried out. I just remember, like, you know how you have, like, an out-of-body experience, and you just, like, you know, just you just ball, like, you just go crazy, like...
Yeah, you're in the zone.
I just went crazy, like, at that point, I could shoot, so I had a pretty decent jumper. All I could do was catch and shoot. That's it. Catch and shoot and play defense. That's it. I couldn't put the ball on the floor, none
so
of that.
So what you're saying is
you were Max.
You, after getting caught in a high school, senior, junior, and senior year, turns out is me. Right now, yeah. As a two-year college basketball player.
Nah, like, I would just catch and shoot, and that's it. And so, like, I remember just hitting everything during that tryout, and then I got a jersey. I got actually put on the A-team. And after that, I did my AAU circuit during the summer and stuff, my senior year. I clipped my clips together and just sent it out. And then I sent it out, and the coach at Springfield Tech came me back and was like, come to the open runs. I want to see how you play. Went to open runs, did my thing there, and they told me to come. So, yeah.
So, how, and then.
So, your first year of playing organized basketball was in college. That is insane.
Yeah, well, AAU, crazy. And then, yeah, college, yeah.
That is crazy.
How did you have the understanding to, like, go get film, and you knew you wanted to be a college? Like, how?
I'm not going
to
lie. Shout out YouTube, because I used to – so, basically, like, my Jesse was helping me out and stuff, but I was going on YouTube just looking up how to shoot. That's the main thing. I was worried about shooting. That's the one thing I worried.
A good thing to worry about.
Yeah, I was like, if I can shoot the ball – yeah, facts. Yeah, if you shoot the ball, bro, you can stay on the court. That's all it is. Play defense and shoot. If you can do those two things, elite – they can't take you off the court, bro.
Shut up. Oh, Miles Epworth. I've been – fuck, this kid I trained in the summer. I've been screaming those two things at him. Mm-hmm. If you can just play defense and hit open looks, you can play anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So you – okay, so you trained all this stuff, and then you went to Springfield Tech, and you did play? You played?
Yeah, my freshman year, I came in. I wasn't expecting to get much burn, but the thing with JUCO is that, like, second half of the semester, a lot of dudes fail off for grades or they get into trouble. So I had an opportunity to play. And I was – and another thing is – to the younger kids, you just gotta keep working hard. Good coaches see that. Shout out Coach Smitty. He was the assistant coach there. He seen me working hard, and he used to, after practice, work out with me and all that. And then I got in a deep connection with him, and then it showed the coaches that I was willing to work hard and they could trust me. So the minutes as the year went on kept going up.
Your freshman year?
My freshman year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sophomore year?
Sophomore year, I came in. I was expected to be the captain, be the leader. And so, yeah, and then I started off mad slow. Like, I couldn't, my confidence was starting to dip. And then we got back from break, a little Christmas break, and we had the holiday tournament we do every year. Went out there, balled out, and I was like, oh, the season started to, you know, get rolling. And then as soon as I felt that I was doing good, I snapped my wrist. Mm. And so
I was going to get to that. So you broke your wrist. Yeah. And then how long are you up for?
Nah, I'm not going to lie, bro. I went home one weekend and I was playing at LA Fitness and some dude took my legs out and I fell in my
ribs. So not some dumb shit.
Yeah.
I was so hoping it was gonna be like you got into a fight over a girl. Like, nah. Threw a left hook and then it just.
One of my best friends is actually another Asian hooper, Alex.
This is such a fucking such crazy story.
Like he, nah, well, he went to prep school with me in Ohio. We're both from the same like, we lived like around the corner from each other in Canada, and he hit me up because he saw I was successful there my first year, my junior year, so he wanted to come there. So we teamed up our senior year, been hooping with him forever, but became really close. He's one of my best friends now. He was killing. He was like a honorable mention all state senior year. He's a hooper, and he decided that he was not gonna. I'm just going in his back. Whatever. He's already had his own podcast, but basically, he was in a McDonald's parking lot wrestling with his friend and stepped into a pothole and tore his ACL.
Damn, that's so bad. That's so unlucky, bro.
He fucking worked his ass off in rehab. And he's playing college basketball now. Mm-hmm. He's at a school in Canada in the university in the OUA, which is the best conference in Canada.
Word, that's what's up. Yeah.
So okay, how long were you out for when you broke your wrist?
So I missed the whole season, the whole rest of the season. So I was done for the rest of the year.
And in the meantime, are you, like, working on shit still, even with your hand broken?
I'm not going to lie, bro. Like, so I was, because I was, like, but in the back of my head, I was, like, this might be the last stop for me. Like, I was, like, this might be the end of it for basketball for me.
First and last.
Yeah, nah, I was, like, dang.
And honestly, bro, if that was your first and last stop, like, bro, I'd dap you up for that shit. Because you went from fucking, you went from getting cut your junior year not knowing how to make a layup.
Or had a full Michael Jordan moment.
Senior year. Getting cut again, played AAU, showed out, and then ends up, within 2 years, he went from getting cut from your high school varsity team to being the captain of a college basketball team.
Yeah,
like, that's insane. That even if your stop just ended there, like, that's something to fucking pat yourself on the back for and, like, memories and, like,
experience. No pun intended.
Pat yourself on the back. I didn't even put that shit together.
Okay, so the thing I wanted to get out there is, like, your left hand now is debatably stronger at dribbling than your right hand, and you're a right-handed player. Sure. So, like, during that time span when you broke your wrist, you were working on your left hand?
I actually broke my left, so this is what happened. So I broke my left.
Fuck you.
Never mind. I was stupid. Disregard.
Nah, I broke my left. I was shooting with my right, getting my form shooting in, all that stuff, working on my right hand. Like, and I was – my dumb ass was still hooping, playing pickup with the cast on. So, I mean, I'm telling you, but, like, my love for the game, like, I just can't get away from it. Like, it's just, like, I don't know. I got to hoop every day. Like, it's just something. Like, I wake up and it's like breathing. I got to hoop. But then, like, when I got my cast off, I was, like, the therapist was, like, yeah, if you just, like, you just got to keep using your left hand and it's going, because it was so stiff, like, I couldn't move it at all. She was, like, just try to use it as much as you can, safely as you can. Mm-hmm. That's why I just started, you know, dribbling, pounding, like, doing everything left to try to get it back. And I feel like that's where I got my left better than my right.
Okay, so then you missed the entire year, your sophomore year.
Yeah, my last year at JUCO, yeah.
And then you came here as a junior.
Yeah, so basically, like, I thought it was done, and I was like, you know what? I was like, I worked so hard to get all the way out here. Might as well give it one more chance, you know, clip my film together again and, you know, send it out. Mm-hmm. And then shout out Coach Southall. He hit me back, and he was like, oh, you want to take a tour to school? And so I went to Elms. It was down the street. I liked it, and he gave me opportunity to try out. So,
and then you came here your junior year, and I was talking to RJ this morning, and apparently you got in a car accident.
Yeah, I got a car accident. So it was like January. So it was like we were halfway through the season.
It was last year.
Last year,
and then you still came to practice the next day?
Yeah, no, I tried to practice, but they weren't having it, so I had to sit out.
That's so. I understand. So that. Even after you got in a fucking car accident, you're like, nah, I'm still trying to. I'll still come to practice.
Yeah.
You tried to, but you, like you said, you tried to. So like they were like, no, like you were in a car accident.
Nah,
you
can't, yeah, the trainers, Max knows the trainers here, like they're mad strict. Yeah. Yeah,
like mad. I had when seven, eight tryouts. The last tryout, my calf was bugging. Like I was, and I wanted to play because I wanted to like have one more chance, and I didn't know if my spot was secured. Turns out, like, I'm here now, so I made the team. Y'all were wondering. But at that point, like, I wasn't, like, a surefire, like, he's going to for sure get injured type of guy. But they wouldn't let me because, like, it was hurting me to walk and, like, wouldn't let me push through. But, I mean, probably the right decision and, at the end of the day. Shout out Nick. Shout out Morgan.
Yeah. Okay, so after all of that, my first real question in this is, why the fuck did you keep going?
I feel like, one, I was too deep in it. Because, so, I'm actually inspired by my parents because they immigrated over here, and my dad's been working two jobs. Since
where are they from? Where are you from?
Vietnam. My parents are from Vietnam. My mom doesn't work, so I look up to my dad so much. Like, dude's been working two jobs for, like, 25 years now. He wakes up at 4 a.m. on the dot, comes home at like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. every day, Monday through Saturday. Every day. The only time he really misses work when he's super sick or something's going on, then he'll call out. But he doesn't really like calling out work either because he knows he needs to work and pay the bills for my family. And so I feel like that's where I got my work ethic from, because seeing that every day as a kid and like, wow, like if he can do it, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm making him proud. But I was also in too deep too, because my parents, they weren't really supportive of me playing basketball. And I feel like during that time I was in JUCO and everything, like we weren't too close because they wanted me to just, you know, like, why are you going to a community college? Why can't you go to a good school, get your degree and be done with it and get a good job? And so I had to figure it out myself. They weren't really supportive of it. And so I felt like I'm already this far deep, might as well keep going.
Mm-hmm. Are they supporting you financially through this, or how are you getting the money?
Oh, yeah. So
I know it's a personal question.
When I need help, they help me out if I hit them up. But I try, you know, like, do what I got to do to, you know.
Like, are you working and stuff like that?
I work during the summer and I stack my bread up and stuff like that. Because, like, literally all summer you got to work and stack your bread up. And then, obviously, I had to take up a couple of loans and stuff because, mm-hmm. you know, so you got to do what you got to do. But, yeah, I mean, now they're supportive because they've seen, like, how hard I've worked and, like, how far I've gotten. And they started being supportive. They want to go to my games now. They haven't been to any of my games. So I feel like this year, you know.
At the games this past weekend?
Nah, they weren't. They haven't been to... Actually, nah. They only been to one of my JUCO games. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, throughout all of that, I'm wondering, could you extract maybe one, two, or three lessons that you've learned through all of this crazy shit?
Ooh, yeah. One is just literally just make it a habit. Like, if you want something, make it a habit to work. Like, every day. Like, it doesn't matter if you're not feeling it. Just get up. Like, so it's a basketball podcast. So I'm going to talk in a basketball sense. So wake up every day and go to the gym. Make that your top priority. Like if that's not your top priority, then to me, you don't really love the game like that. Like, I wake up and work my schedule around my workouts. So I put my workouts first. I'm like, I wake up early and get a workout in. That's the first thing.
Talk about your schedule, because you have like a really... Like, you have a ridiculous training schedule. You begin up at 6 a.m. and shit. And, like, I know because I worked out with you a lot and uh-huh. talked to you about the shit. So tell the audience about... Because this is what it takes to be a college basketball player. This uh-huh. is what the level of work ethic it takes from getting cut your senior year to... Pat started last game in a tournament for a four-year division, like, NCAA basketball team.
Yeah,
and that's a ridiculous jump. So tell them what you do to get into that position. And you deserve everything you've gone so far.
So I was always, like, I feel like I was always hardworking and stuff. Like, I'll be in the gym for hours and hours and hours. But I learned last year from my boy James. Shout out, James. He showed me that, oh, you really only need, like, an hour, hour and a half of just intense hard workouts. And that'll get you further than sitting in the gym, just walking around, shooting for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And so this summer, I put on I literally cut everything off. Like, I didn't go out. I didn't hang out with none of my boys back home. I may see them once or twice here and there. It was strictly basketball and work. So I would wake up like 6, work out, do what I got to do, get my shots up, get my drills in, go to work, leave work. I'll be tired. So I had to take a quick little like 30-minute hour nap, wake up. I'll go lift, get a lift in. And then after that, I'll do some more drills, or there would usually be runs or something where I could play 5-on-5 competitive, like open invite runs, and I would do that, and I'll do that every day all summer. And this summer I actually, like, my JUCO assistant coach Smitty, he told me, he was like, yeah, you gotta put yourself out there and hoop a better competition. So a lot of the time I'll go to New York, and there would be leagues and stuff, and this summer I would drive to New York. I would spend my money on all that gas and stuff, and I would go to New York and play, like, tough hoopers. Like, New York got some of the toughest hoopers. Like, you wouldn't even imagine, like, white dudes that are, like, 5'8", like, coming out of their business jobs, coming down, tween, pull up from the volleyball line. Like, I'm telling you, bro, like, they got hoopers out there. And it was eye-opening to see, like, there's so many good hoopers out there. And, like, and it really humbled me. It was like, damn, like, there's really dudes out here who can really ball and bust your ass. Like, you got to keep working and try to be better every day.
You're kind of a glowing example of, like, it's never too late, and how we've talked about this on the podcast a few times, but it's like how hard work, mm-hmm. a good attitude, and focus compounded over a long enough time span will pay off. Even if you're not seeing the results right now, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean it's not going towards something. It's not building karma, and you're not going to see results eventually.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at Pat's path, like what you just said, it's like, well, the first 5-6 games, he didn't check in. Mm-hmm. And then he gets an opportunity, makes the most of that opportunity, goes 2-for-2 versus Union, mm-hmm. and like kind of like fosters a kind of comeback with just playing good, solid defense and making shots. And he starts the next game, right? Mm-hmm. And so you could look at that, and then now, look, whatever happens going forward, you could look at that as, like, not, like, for example, how many minutes you play last game?
Last game, like...
when you started. You started, and did you check back in after that?
Nah, I got, like, 3, and that was it.
So you checked, but... So you could be, like, you could be pissed about that on one hand. On the other hand, you could look at that and be like, bro, 3 years ago, I got cut from my high school team. And now I just started to college. Like, you have to be grateful for that progress you made. You made so much progress.
Yo, you don't understand how many times that happened. Like obviously, like, the first thought that went to my head when I didn't get back in the game, I was like, damn. I was like, I started for nothing, all this. But now, like, I started to, like, think back to, like, because I started to think back, like, yo, you didn't play no varsity ball, all this. You made it all the way here. You should be happy for that. Sure. Obviously, I want more. That's human nature. You always want to get better and all that. But sometimes you got to sit back, look at your journey and be like, damn, I really made so much progress. And be proud of yourself.
Sure, that's so important.
I'm pretty sure most people have seen that image of, like, the
progress thing.
No, I'm talking about the mine shaft thing where it's like there's this big ass diamond and there's this guy who stopped, like, right before, and then there's this other guy who's, like, just going towards it. It's like if you have no idea how close you could be to achieving the thing that you're about to achieve, and getting pissed because you didn't get that amount of minutes could be the one moment that you needed to get to see the success you want to see.
What I was saying before, I got caught up in giving, like, Pat the props of, like, what do you call it? Like,
loud sucking making, noise.
What you just said that reminded me is, like, you could have been pissed about not playing in the first 6 games of the season. Mm-hmm. But that 7th game, like, if you, and like, yo, fuck this. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't check in the first 6, but then you would have given up before you got that opportunity and made the most of that opportunity. You feel me? You found that diamond. And then the next game,
Bro, you have no idea how quick things can fucking turn. Shout out Farai, bro.
Shout out my boy Farai. Farai
barely got a fucking jersey. He barely got a fucking jersey. Kept working. Got in for 2 minutes. Kept fucking working. Kept a good attitude. Kept focused. Exactly. And now 17 minutes. Now he might start. Bet you your ass when this comes out.
Farai fucking starts next game. Probably starts tomorrow. Fucking kill it too.
I'm playing 10 on it. He's starting.
And he fucking kills it too. You can't. And that hopefully. I'm next. That's why I'm, like, and seeing you guys do that. Mm-hmm. You guys are older than me. You guys have experienced a lot more. Bad. How old are you?
I'm 22.
You're 22. Farai's also 22. Mm-hmm. So, and just seeing you guys and the amount of, like, A, the positivity when shit's not going your way and just consistent. Because I think on the team, like, the hardest working guys, at least the people who are in the gym, when I'm in the gym, is you and Farai. Uh-huh. And if you guys are having a good positive attitude and working hard and persevering, you don't check in and you, like, you're going to show up to work and show up to get your extra reps in, regardless of if you play or not, is inspiring to me to keep doing the same thing and hopefully, and then on top of that, just keep being positive, keep being a good teammate, keep taking care of my shit off the court as well, and hopefully I'll follow in that direction of getting those opportunities and thriving those opportunities.
Nah, thanks.
Okay, sidestepping from that. What are some things that you learned about college basketball that you didn't understand from the outside looking in?
Like
last episode, Farai talked about how it's a like this is a job for some people. Like, this is how they put food on the table for certain people, and like this is not a fucking game. Like from the outside looking at, you couldn't understand like some things you couldn't understand about the game if you're not really in it.
Like it's just like I feel like every college hooper, especially D3, because we're not getting no full rides, all this stuff. Like people who play this game at this level really love the game and they will put their all into it, and even at JUCO, I know, shout out Joe, he was some 30-year-old, like big white dude, strong, on our team, but he only lasted.
That might be the oldest fucking college hooper I've ever heard of.
Nah, he didn't last too long because he had his own outside problems with the court and stuff, so he didn't, you know, last too long. But people who really love this game, like, will do anything to, like, get what they want, and that's why you always got
to be on your toes. Look at Jake. Jake lost, what, he said 85 pounds or something like that?
Nah, facts.
Bro, we had last year on St. John Fisher, there was a guy who was 27 with a kid playing on a development team, and, like, after the game, he went up and hugged his kid. It was like, dude, there's just a perspective switch. It was like, holy shit. Like, there's guys out there who are 7 years ahead of me with a kid in my position right now. Like, what the fuck is – that's just a crazy perspective switch.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why, like, you got to, you know, keep working and stay on your toes because everyone wants that starting spot. Everyone wants to get on that court, bro. So you got to keep working because if a good team is gonna, everyone's gonna push each other up because everyone wants more.
I want you to talk a little bit about that moment kind of when coach, because last year you also were in a similar position to, I guess, you were previously up until this weekend, and like I am in right now, and I guess Farai also before previously this weekend. What was that moment like when you got that opportunity? Like, what were you thinking when you kind of got that opportunity versus Union? What was that kind of going through your head? Or, I mean, maybe the better question is, what was going through your head after?
Well, at the time, I feel like, because I had a big mindset change over the summer, because this summer was a big, like I was just like, I had to change, because I was like, stuff isn't working out for me. I'm not getting on the court, and I'm not getting what I want. So I was like, I have to change something. So the first thing I started with was my mindset. Like, I remember last year, like, I would get garbage minutes, and I would come in, and I'd be like, nah, bro, like, I'm not, I don't even care about this no more. I'm like, he's putting me in the garbage time. I don't really care. I remember coach would always talk about, like, oh, like, doesn't matter how many minutes you get. When you get in, just go 100. And I was like, nah, I don't really care about all that. I was just being bitter. And so over the summer, I was like, you know what? Like, even if because I was like, there's a big opportunity that I probably, like, won't get, like, won't be a starter, probably won't get a lot of burn because I don't know, like, I listened to, like, podcasts over the summer a lot when I was at work in the back. I worked at a sandwich shop, and I asked them if I could work in the back so I can listen to podcasts, you know, like, gain more knowledge and elevate my mindset. And so I remember you always got to prepare for the worst because basically if it happens, then you're not going to break down. You're just going to keep pushing forward.
Cause a lot expect of it.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, they're so naive. They don't expect things to go wrong. When shit hits the fan, they just break down and give up. So I was expecting that coming in, and then I was like, you know what, garbage time or whatever, I'm going to get in and try and give it my all. And so when coach put me in, I was like, it was like 10 minutes left. I was like, this is a lot more time than
garbage time.
So I was like, you know what, this is like, I can show out and do what I got to do. And so I was locked in. I did what I had to do. I knocked my shots down, played aggressive D. And coach seen it, and I guess he liked what he saw, and I got to start the next game.
Yeah. What were you like feeling afterwards?
I felt like a little moment of relief. I was like I belonged, and like I can really ball and stuff like that. But I also like that was short lived because I was like I got to lock back in. We got a game tomorrow. I was like it doesn't matter what I did that game. It's in the past. I got to keep going, looking forward. I'm trying to move up in rotation, all that.
One of the things you just touched on there, something we've talked about too, that I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is like the resetting of expectations. Where it's like, if you pick a goal and like from the outside looking in, you don't understand how hard it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then you get like a third of the way or half of the way towards that goal. And then you're in the shit and you're like, this fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. But then if you look back and you're like, well, I wanted this thing. I expected it to be hard. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in the shit. This is what hard feels like. This is what I should have expected. And it just like resets your baseline. And now you're in the shit that you're going towards the goal. And you should have expected this in the first place. Mm-hmm. But another thing too that I was going to ask is if you could restart basketball today, but you could only keep one skill, what would that one skill be?
I feel like the one skill I would keep is my work ethic. Because like that's something that will take you further places than any other skill. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this work ethic got me this far. Like, all those workouts, waking up early, pushing through when I wasn't feeling it, like, doing every day. Like, I hoop every day. Like, I do not take 0 days off unless I, doesn't matter. I'm going 365 every day. Every holiday, I'm still working out, finding a gym. Christmas, I know no gyms are open, so I'm going to the park, getting at least, like, shots up for, like, 30, 45 minutes. An hour trying to, like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like if I take a day off, someone out there is getting better than me. That's the way I think about it.
So preparing for these big moments, because like we were just talking about how, like, one moment can really change your entire basketball career. Mm-hmm. What goes into preparing, like, performing in these big moments? Like, is it 50% luck, 50% preparation? Is it fucking 90% luck, 10% preparation? Like, what goes into preparing for those big moments?
I feel like just putting all those reps that I put in, I feel like all those reps led up to me being confident and doing what I had to do out there on the court. And it's just that I seen this quote. It was like, hard work doesn't promise success. So, like, I was like, things can go right or left, but I can control that. I can control the defensive end. I knew that for a fact. Like, I was more worried about the defensive end. Because that's like, I felt like that at that time in that Union game, that's what we were lacking. I had to bring that energy on defense. So I was more worried about that. The shots that I hit, like I wasn't, yeah, I was locked in on that too, but I was more worried about the defensive end and doing what I had to do on that end.
I ain't got shit right now, unless you want to ask the last question.
Yeah, it's just, what's one thing you kind of tell your younger self?
Tell my younger self? Don't get too down on yourself and keep going, because I just remember there was some, a lot of rough nights. So I would just like, there's a lot of times I would just come home by myself and I had no mentors. I didn't have a lot of mentors. So later on and stuff, and I was just there by myself. I didn't have no one in my family who plays sports or anything. So I couldn't go and ask them like how to get through all these challenges and stuff. So I just told myself, just keep going. Keep going no matter how hard it gets, no matter how down you get, just got to keep going. And yeah, that's it.
It's a wrap.
Appreciate you coming on my way, making the
time. Appreciate you.
I'm proud of you, bro. Keep working.
I'm proud of you too, bro. You got to keep working, bro.